call, eh, Houston?
Go ahead.
Okay, well, we're verifying that scroll position. They're talking over the back room about that now. I'd like to go ahead and run down the checklist with you for entry.
Go ahead.
Okay, looking on entry one, the second item there is the 12-hour cabin cold soak. And in discussions here in pre-flight, I think it's agreed that we don't want to do the cold soak there. So we're going to delete that step two. And what it amounts to is, I think we do want to do a cold soak, and we certainly want to exercise the water boilers prior to entry in order to ensure that we don't have one that's dried out in the same manner that we had one dried out prior to LOI. And we're working on some procedures for that, and we'll have to come back to you with those a little bit later, and we'll try to do it sometime when Bill's on the line, so that everybody can get in on the loop at the same time. We'd like to add a step between 8 and 9, or as part of step 8, this is all on page E1, where we turn the VHF to simplex A at minus 4 hours and 35 minutes. Now this will be beyond two-way VHF range, but it'll make sure that we do have it on at the time when we pick it up. We were able to get out to 20,000 miles with a downlink, and we're checking on the uplink signal. So if we put it on at this point, we know we have it on well in advance of any time we might be able to get into the VHF.
Okay.
Okay, I guess maybe I have that backwards. They copied, you folks copied the VHF out to 20K, and we're checking on the downlink into that now. But in any event, this 4 hours and 35 minutes will get it well in advance of that.
Roger.
Okay, 8, we just got an answer back on the test patterns. We started with, you have 25 test patterns which are allocated to ground tests, and these are the ones we've been looking at. Then there's 5 more that are allocated to flight, and the only difference in these patterns is that the flight patterns have the instructions actually written on them. So if we're looking at test pattern 8, that means we're still working on the ones who are allocated to ground tests. So there's no problem there, and I'll get you a number for which pattern we should be using for entry. They're working on that one right now. So we would like to go ahead and run through the...
I don't mean the...
Say again, Frank?
I don't mean the test pattern. I don't mean the test pattern. We asked them to put the supercircular on the number, first place on the scroll. I'm sure they did. I'm sure it's the first pattern, but I just want to make sure it's that's right.
Right, that's what we're trying to verify. So,
okay, you want me to run through a test pattern?
Yes, sir, if you would, please. And if you'd tell us each step as you go through it.
Okay. Going through step one, EMS test one. Wait 5 seconds, there's 5 seconds going auto. Okay, the indicator lights are all off and the range is 0-0. I'm gonna slew the hairline over the notch. Okay. And now you go on EMS test two.
Roger.
Got the 05G light, all others are out.
Roger.
On test three. RSI Laura lights on, 10 seconds. Gonna set the range counter to 58. Okay, it's set at 58, going test 4.
Roger.
Beautiful, it's perfect. It's right in the corridor, comes down, and it stops at 00.
Very good.
Go on test 5. Perfect again. Okay, now I'll go to range set.
Okay.
And standby.
Okay.
Okay, that was perfect.
Real fine. Okay, Apollo 8, we'd like to run one more null bias, and looks like we'll have exercised everything we can get to.
Okay. Delta V. Auto. All zeros.
Roger, understand, minus 2. Is that minus 2 or minus 2 tenths?
2 tenths, 3 tenths now.
Okay, real good. That looks like we've checked.
Had a lot of noise on the circuit for a while there, Ken.
Yeah, we did too. Electronic glitches, I guess.
Okay, 100 seconds, it's minus 4 tenths.
Okay, real fine. It looks like that's about all of the functions that we can check, and looks like everything is just down the line.
Roger.
Okay, we still owe you confirmation that you can expect your high-speed scroll to be the first pattern you come to, and I'll let you know as soon as they come in with an answer on it. I'd like to go ahead and finish going through the entry book, if you're ready.
Roger.
OK. Okay, we've reviewed most of the book up here, and we will have to come back to you and suggest a way that we can check out the water boiler prior to getting to the entry area. We've reviewed all of the last-minute changes that were put in, pen and ink type things, and they're all looking good. On page E7, I'd like to add a couple of items.
What's that?
Okay, on step 34 under final stowage, which is a sort of a catch-all area, there's a step that says secondary glycol to radiator, and it says bypass verify. Well, while we're down in this area, we'd like to go to panel 382, the water control panel, and set up the evaporator water control valves, both primary and secondary, to auto. Now, this is something we would have done had we done the cold soak at minus 12 hours. But since we weren't doing it there, we'd like to go ahead and make sure we have these in auto. And this will enable automatic controls from the panel.
Can we just make this part of the procedure when we test out the water boilers beforehand?
Yes, sir. If we get that checked out earlier, we can just leave them in auto.
I'd rather do that.
Okay, I'm just going to make a note here, and we can do it the other way, too. And the other item that was pen and inked in, and you may already have this down in step 35. It says up telemetry to block verify, and there's a step right after that that says RCS command module heaters, two circuit breakers closed.
Roger.
Okay, I guess that one was sent up to you this afternoon. And when you turn the page over to E8, it shows the EMS entry check being run at minus an hour. And even though it's a short test, there's really no reason to wait for an hour. You might as well go ahead and do that as soon as you get through with step 35 on page E7. Because we're coming up on a pretty busy period.
I say that's fine, we'll do that. Houston, are you still there?
All right, we got a discussion going, I'll be right back. Okay, Apollo 8, on page E9.
Okay.
At the top of the page, it has step 38. And right underneath that, prior to step 39, we want to have a primary glycol loop activation. What we're going to do is to get the glycol evaporator water switch to auto and the glycol evaporator steam pressure switch to auto. This will get your primary water boiler on the line prior to entry. Or at least it'll enable it.
Okay, tell me what to write in, Ken.
Okay, it's glycol evaporator water to auto. Apollo 8, Houston, you there?
Glycol evaporator water switched to auto.
Okay, and the second switch is the glycol evaporator steam pressure to auto. Okay, so that takes care of getting the primary water boiler enabled. And it's my understanding that we were going to make the actual entry with both the primary and the secondary water boilers on the line. All right, how now?
Loud and clear.
Okay, there's some question from reading the checklist. It's my understanding that both the primary and secondary water boilers would be on for the actual entry, and don't find a place in the checklist where it's actually turned on. So we'd like to get confirmation of that, and we'll make sure that we have all the proper switching put in the checklist.
Okay.
All right, still on page E9. And under step 39, at the bottom of the pyro circuit check, there's a step that says panel 8, all circuit breakers closed except, and then it lists 5 that are printed, 1 that was pen and inked prior to launch, it says EDS power circuit breakers 3 open, and to be complete, we ought to add the RCS heater circuit breakers. There's 2 of those, and they should also be open. These pages look good. I'm coming over through the graph. And on page E11, okay, on step 5 on E11, there's the first subtitle there is helmets and gloves, and the items that follow beneath that are affected by whether you wear suits or come in shirt sleeves, but they do have to be accomplished. And the suit return air valve would actually be open for a shirt sleeve entry. And you should have a line penciled in of optics power to off between emergency cabin pressure valve and the time when the CMP moves to the couch.
Right.
Okay. And the step that shows the tape recorder to rewind at minus 30, now that's an onboard step rather than a ground step, just to verify that. Okay, under step 6, almost at the bottom, in fact it's 3 lines from the bottom of the step 6, there's a section that says secondary coolant loop evaporator to reset, and should be a note there that that's 58 seconds if you hold it and reset prior to moving the pump off.
That's in it.
Okay. Okay, the next comment is on page E13.
Okay, I'm there.
All right, this is a general comment that refers to anytime you're working around P62 or when you're going between P62 and P63. And you should be careful not to call an extended verb during this time. This is in the program notes and it's just a reminder. Now what will happen if we get into an extended verb such as an 83 or an 82? We may get hung up in P62 and have to recycle through it in order to get into 63. And neither of these displays are normally used, and it's just a good practice, and we're just trying to remind you that we don't want to call an extended verb while we're in P62.
Okay, neither do we. That's right.
Okay. Okay, and going through the rest of it, we didn't find any other things we wanted to make comments on. You have all the latest corrections in your checklist.
Roger. The main thing then is to come up with a way to determine that the water boiler's not dry and make sure that Bill gets it activated at TMSM7.
That's correct. And we'll talk to you some more about that next time we catch both you and Bill up.
Right on.